What is the last mitzvah of the Torah? Is mitzvah of Hakhel. There are 613 mitzvahs in the Torah, and the last one is together all the Jews, once every 7 years. The Jewish calendar has a seven-year cycle, and every seventh year, Earth has to rest. You cannot plant or harvest anything in the land of Israel. And at the end of the seventh year, there's a mitzvah to gather all the Jews in Jerusalem and for king to read them the Torah and to give them lectures to inspire them. This is the last mitzvah of the Torah. Why? And what is the point of this mitzvah? Moshe Rabbeinu Moses is giving this mitzvah now, right before the Jews are about to enter the land of Israel. And Moshe Rabbeinu himself is about to die. As a matter of fact, he gave this mitzvah on the last day of his life. All the time, while Jews were traveling through the desert, Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses, was giving them mitzvahs and teaching them the Torah. Now, 40 years later, he's talking to the nation that already 40 years removed from the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai. And now they are about to enter the land of Israel when they will be busy with their mundane work. When Jews were in the desert, they were busy learning the Torah. They didn't have any other worries. God was providing them food. God was providing them protection from all the animals and even from the sun. God was taking care of them 24/7. They had an all-inclusive cruise over there through the desert. So Jews had only one thing to do, to learn the Torah. Now they're about to enter the land of Israel, where you need to already build houses, buy houses, sell houses, earn money, take care of these houses, pay for your kids' tuition in school, worry about all of your mundane physical matters. So obviously there is a real danger of Jews getting sidetracked and forgetting about the importance of the Torah. So this mitzvah of Hakel, of gathering the Jews once every 7 years, is supposed to be reenactment of the giving of the Torah. When the king gathers all the Jews together, like the Jews were standing at Mount Sinai, and they're hearing the words of the Torah. Giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai was, I'm sure, the most inspirational moment in the world's history. So many times people tell me, well, if God will appear right in front of me and tell me to keep Shabbos, I'll start keeping Shabbos. Well, guess what? Back then, God actually appeared in front of all the Jews and told them to keep Shabbos. That's exactly what happened. You cannot not keep Shabbos if God himself comes down and says, hey, you, keep Shabbos. Specifically said that God addressed every single person standing at Mount Sinai in singular form. God said you as talking to one person. In English, you could mean both singular and plural. God said, Elokecha, I'm your God in singular. So God is talking to everybody directly. Afterwards, you cannot walk away without any doubts that you will be doing what God tells you. But then 40 years passes and Jews are getting busy with their physical needs. There's a real concern. Maybe we will lose this inspiration. Inspiration is a very interesting thing. It comes and goes. If I walk into a room where people are happy, if I wander into a wedding hall without even realizing where I'm coming into, and everybody's dancing, I'm going to be uplifted. If I come into a room where everybody's sad, I won't even know what happened. Nobody even told me why they're sad. I will right away become a little bit sad. That's how our emotions work. Our emotions are not stable. Our emotions are fluid, and our emotions are very dependable, very not independent. And this is how we work. To do anything, we need to have two things. We need the know-how, and we need a reason to. When I wake up in the morning, I have a know-how to get out of bed. I know how to get out of bed very well. I've done it already many times in my life. But unless I have a really good reason to get out of bed, I'm not going to get out of bed. I'm going to be staying put. There is a family that I know. They live in Ranchley area in Pikesville. It's a observant, frum family. And they're like one of those families that lived in the frum world their whole life. Doesn't look like they've ventured much outside of the frum world. And they're talking to me, they're saying that they got a new neighbor. Somebody moved into a house right next door to them. It's a Russian Jewish family. And they see that this Russian Jewish family is completely, totally oblivious of anything Jewish. For New Year's, they put a tree, and this observant family gets scared that they put a Christmas tree over there. They mow their grass on Shabbos, and they don't celebrate any Jewish holidays. They're making a big backyard party on Yom Kippur. They're totally, this family is like in shock. So this lady, very nice lady, she very politely made friends with her new neighbors, and she asked them, why don't you keep any Jewish laws? And they say, I don't even know even what you're talking about. What Jewish laws? What are we supposed to keep? So she asked me for Shulchan Aruch, a copy of a code of Jewish law translated into Russian. I'm like, I don't know why I need it, but here it is. She calls me after, she says, you know what? This family, they're mowing their grass on Shabbos. They're not keeping anything, any traditions, any laws. I gave them the code of Jewish law in Russian, and I asked them to read it. And they're still mowing their grass. I asked them, did you read the book? Says, yes, I did. So why are you still mowing your grass if you read the book? Just reading the code of Jewish law is not going to necessarily make someone keep all the commandments that he's obligated to keep, because knowing how is not important. You also have to have a inspiration, a reason to. Now, and here's the most interesting part. We humans, we always like thinking that we are very logical. We always like identify ourselves as Homo sapiens. We pretend that we are driven by our brains, by our intellect, by our logic. Guess what? Nothing is further from the truth. I can understand something very well and not do anything what I understand. I can sit here with a cigarette and tell you about the evils of smoking. I can sit here with a cup of alcohol and tell you how bad drinking is. And I can tell you about a healthy diet while I'm eating the most unhealthy food. And I will not feel anything wrong with that. How many times was it that I woke up in the morning and I know I have to get out of bed, but I'm not getting out of bed? What do you mean, but I know I have to get out of bed? I know I have to get out, but knowing something doesn't affect anything. To get out of bed, I have to want to get out of bed. Now, obviously, I could have conflicting desires. I could have a desire to stay in bed, to sleep. But at least if I have some desire to get out of bed, I'll get out of bed. If this desire that I have that pushes me to get out of bed will be at least one iota stronger than my desire to stay in bed, I'll get out of bed. If not, I'll stay in bed. But if I have no desire, I don't even have a chance of getting out of bed. To keep Shulchan Aruch, the code of Jewish law, you have to have a desire to keep it, not only have the book. To eat healthy, I need to have a desire to eat healthy. Now, my desire to eat the most sugary and the most unhealthy food could be greater than my desire to eat healthy food. Then I will not eat healthy food, I will eat unhealthy food. But if my desire will be at least a little bit bigger, it's going to be a struggle. But most of the time, at least, I'll manage. We are driven by our emotion, not by our knowledge. When the USSR just became more open, and many Jewish organizations started coming into the USSR to make Jewish programming, to awaken people, to find Jews, and Adin Steinzaltz, you may know who this is. He passed away several years ago. He was one of the greatest rabbis in the 20th century, for sure. He translated the entire Talmud from Aramaic, the language it's originally written on, onto modern Hebrew, so modern-day Israelis would be able to understand him. It's just one of his big projects, but he had many, many projects like this. He was a very active rabbi, and he also started doing programs in the former Soviet Union. And then when he saw what everybody else was doing, people were coming, making big hoo-ha, making big inspiring program for holidays, for whatever it is. and then go home. And he was like, that's not how you do things. So he famously back then turned to the entire Jewish world and he said in his heavy Hebrew accent, we have the inspiration, now we need the information. So there's inspiration and there's information. If you have inspiration without information, you won't be able to do anything because you have to know how to do it. But if you have information without inspiration, you also won't do anything. So you need to have both. So this is exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to address here. For 40 years, he was teaching the Jews the Torah. He was giving them the information. But he says, hey guys, I know it's going to be tough. Why? Because knowing what you need to do is not necessarily automatically leading you to doing what you need to do. So that's why once every 7 years, he said it's going to be reenactment of the giving of the Torah. Once in 7 years, all the Jews, could you imagine, every single Jew is coming together to Jerusalem. And they are all addressed by the Jewish leader of that time, the king. And the Torah is read, and I'm sure all other greatest, most inspirational speakers of the Jewish world, and there's many of them, I'm sure in every generation, they're all coming to help the Jews to be inspired to do the right thing. So this is the lesson of this parsha. What is the lesson of this parsha? We very often know what we need to do. But I can tell you about the evils of smoking with a cigarette in my hand. Okay, I can tell you about the need to exercise without even stepping foot into a gym for past 10 years. We all know what we need to do. But why don't we do it? It's very simple. We don't have a desire. We have a desire. Our desire is not strong enough. I have a desire to go to gym. I have a desire to go to gym, and but my desire to stay in bed for another half an hour is greater. So, what is the solution? I was once talking to a lady here, and she told me that she had a friend that once inspired her to light Shabbat candles, and she started lighting Shabbat candles. But over the time, it became a little more difficult. She became a little more busy, family, job, this, that. She stopped doing it. And she says, yeah, my inspiration petered out. Says many other people spoke to me about it. But this lady really inspired me back then. And, you know, and I since then, I haven't been in touch with her so much. So I stopped doing it. So I said, you know what? I understand this perfectly. I understand that you are not inspired right now. You don't have the desire to light Shabbat candles. And I understand it. I also have my desires, or lack thereof, you know. And I understand you don't have a desire to light Shabbat candles. But do you have a desire to have a desire to light Shabbat candles? I know you don't want, but do you want to want? So here you go. I said, this Friday night, I told this lady, I'm inviting you over to my house together with this other lady. You're going to meet her after a couple of years not talking to her. I hope she's going to inspire you again. So we all have to acknowledge that we are dependent on our inspiration. And we also have to acknowledge what inspires us. Every person could be inspired from something else. Once the Torah was given at Mount Sinai, I'm sure somebody was inspired more by what he heard. Another person was inspired more by what he saw. A third person might be inspired by this part, and another person will be inspired by that part. We all have different things that inspire us. And once we acknowledge that we depend on our inspiration, we have to understand. It's true that we depend on our inspiration, but our inspiration depends on us. We can make ourselves inspired if we want to. If we want to. So that's what it is. I know you don't want to light Shabbat candles, but do you want to light Shabbat candles? So this is what Moshe Rabbeinu is giving us in this Torah portion. He's giving us a tool to be inspired. He says, it's up to you. I know inspiration peters out with the time. Moshe says, it's going to happen sooner or later. I'm giving you a tool how to be inspired, and whether to be inspired or not, whether to take steps towards your inspiration or not. That's really up to you.